Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the granot of Meiser Beima, in which we learned that the Chachamim imposed certain time periods during the year where they wanted to trigger the Behemoth being brought as Meiser Beima. Rashi on the Mishnah says it's a din derabanan completely. There's no even mitzvah of Meiser Beima. Meiser Beima, and if you'd like to do it, it's a reshut to opt in and do the mitzvah of Meiser Beima. The Rambam has a stronger statement that it's a mitzvah chiyuvit, and that one should try to do the mitzvah, but if you opt out, then you are successful at opting out of the mitzvah if you don't bring 10 together in a corral in a single time. That means that if you shech beforehand, or you sell them beforehand, you will be patur from Maaser Behema. Nevertheless, the Gemara says over here that people are nechalei David mitzvah bimone. People like to do mitzvot with their possessions. The Baalei Tosfot would say, even though lifnez man yochola aser, even though you could do it earlier and do Meiser Beima, or you could shech them, or you could sell them, kevin shekavu chachamim. Once a chachamim established what the date was, zman derechu lamtin od ulaser hakol biyachad. People wait. People comply with that din of the chachamim. Therefore, they wait to do the Meiser Beima at that particular time, as well as the fact that they actually do Meiser Beima, which is not a big loss. We saw in the Rashi, the Ktav Yad, yesterday, as well as Rashi above, speak about the ability to use it yourself, which is the Meiser Beima is yours to eat, whether it has a mum locally or if it doesn't have a mum up in the Mikdash, as well as the release of the other animals from your Eder, which will then also make them accessible or readily available for the Oleh Regalim or yourself. And for all those reasons, the granot over here were important and they were set up to be before each of the regalim. And that's what we saw yesterday, the shito of Rabbi Akiva, the prasa pesach, prasa tzeret, and prasa chag was 15 days before each one of those items. Now we're going to discuss the remaining tanaim and the mishnah as to what their opinions are and how they differ from Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, v'chaftet ba'adar uba'alef b'sivan. So he changes from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says 15 days before pesach. Ben Azai says 29th of Adar. And then Rabbi Akiva said 15 days before Atzeret, and we have Ben Azai saying Aleph B'Sivan. You should know that there are some Rishonim that believe that Pras Atzeret also is considered to be Aleph Sivan, because Pras doesn't necessarily mean 15 days like we saw here, but Pras is a terminology for a fixed amount of time before. It is basically the sphere of influence of the holiday. So Pesach has a greater sphere of influence, whereas Shavuot, which is a short period of time away from Pesach, has a smaller sphere of influence. Then you could even argue that the word pras, because it doesn't have any particular meaning, pras means a piece or a half of. So here the Gemara gave it meaning by saying it's half of the Sholim V'Doshim B'Chot Pesach. But you could give it other meanings, or you could just simply say that pras means the period of time or the sphere of influence prior to that period of time. So B'Maika Miflegei, what's the Machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai? Rabbi Akiva says that Adar Sheni, or just if there's just one Adar in the year, it's a possibility it could be a 30-day month, it's a possibility it could be a 29-day month. Therefore, Zimne Mikla B'Yom Mavet, Zimne Mikla B'Chavtet. Therefore, sometimes it'll turn out that 15 days before is the 29th of Adar, sometimes 15 days before Pesach will be the 30th of Adar. That's why he didn't give a date, but rather a number of days beforehand. That the Adar prior to Nisan is always chaser, which is the way that we have it. Rosh Chodesh Nisan today is always one day. It's never 2 days. That implies that the Adar beforehand is always chaser. And because it's always chaser, he assigned it to Chavtet Adar, because that always will be the same 15 days before Pesach, will always be on Chavtet Adar. Bechad v'tziban, why didn't he agree with Rabbi Akiva's 15 days before? Aidi, delo nefishe, since there's not a lot, iamart likadim, if you then make it earlier, le'aser, and take off the masrot, ad'mati regel, shal midhu. By the time the regel comes around, then they'll be finished. That's from two perspectives. You have a very short window between the maser that you did before Pesach and the maser that you're doing for Shavuot. So you want to maximize the number of animals that you get into that goren, so you want to make it as late as possible. The way that he phrases it here, but is similar a problem, is that if you do it too early, the number of animals that are in this goren will be limited. By the time you wait between the time you do the goren and Shavuot, you'll use up all the animals. So if you use up all the animals, there'll be nothing left for Shavuot. So it's two sides of the same coin, which is if you're too far away from Shavuot, you're going to use up the small number of animals. The closer you get to Shavuot, the more time, the more animals there will be. So both of those reasons compel Ben Azai to say that you need to be closer to Shavuot, and therefore he uses Rosh Chodesh Sivan rather than the 15 days before Shavuot. Bechavte Bav, also on the 29th of Av. Ben Azai the Tamei, Ben Azai is the Shitato, because Rabbi Kiva says 15 days before the Chag, which will turn out to be either Rosh Hashanah or the day before Rosh Hashanah, depending on what the number of days of layout are. But that would be differentiated from Ben Azai, who's saying the 29th of Av, which is a month earlier. The Damar, because this is his Shita, Hayelulim Mitasrim Bifnei Atzman. As we saw in the latter part of the Mishnah, that Elul is by itself. Because Ben Azai, as we're going to see in a second, feels that there's a Safek. He's not certain as to where Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser Behema is. So Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser Behema, Rosh Chodesh Elul, or is it Rosh Hashanah? So he doesn't know. So therefore, Elul is a Safek. Does it belong to the previous year, or does it belong to the upcoming year? So for that reason, he not puts Elul in its own category, and all the animals that are born in Elul have their own Goren, in order to differentiate them both from the previous year and the upcoming year. But that means for the cutoff, he needs to use Chatet Av, because Chatet Av would be the end of the year, assuming that Elul belongs to the next year. So that's why he's a Goren at Chatet Be'av. So where it says, V'lisreinu v'lyom lamed, why don't you just take off Masrot on the 30th day of Av? Why are you doing it on the 28th day of Av? Now, for Ben Azai, there's also another tension, which the Rashi and the Ketav Yad mentions as well, which is that he wants to make it before Elul, but you could have made it any time before Elul. You have a lot of time from Shavuot until Elul. You could have made the Goren any time you wanted. The reason that he particularly picks the end of Av is because he also wants to get as close to Sukkot as possible. There's two things that are pulling at him. There's one issue, which is, when's Rosh Hashanah le'masrot? The other one is, the behemoth are meant for the regel. So I want to get as close as possible to the regel. So that's why he pushes it as late as possible in Av, in order to be as close as possible to Sukkot. The truth is, because of his safek, he also wants to do that and demarcate between the end of the year and the Elul. But the Rashi Ketav Yad notes that also he's trying to push as close to Sukkot as possible. And there you see that, both from Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who have it basically at Pras Sukkot, Pras HaChag, 15 days before, either at Rosh Hashanah or the day before Rosh Hashanah. They have their Goren then in order to have animals available for Sukkot. Zimnin de mixerin lay la'av. Sometimes av is chaser, and therefore be'inan the mevad hakera b'chadash v'yashan. You need to make a distinction between the new and the old. The truth is, as Rashi in the Ketav Yad points out over here, it doesn't matter. You could even make the Goren 2 days, 3 days into Elul, because we know that something mechuser zman that hasn't been around for 7 days isn't going into the Goren. So given that, doesn't really matter. You could be a day or two, three late. It's not going to include any of the animals of Elul. So then why make it on Chavtet Av? Because he wants to have a demarcation between the previous year and the new year. Meaning that the Elul, which is going to be on its own, the only way to make it clear that this is a cutoff point is to put the Goren on the cutoff point. So therefore he puts it on Chavtet Av, because then he's always certain it's before Elul. Because if he puts it on Lamed Av, there are times where there is no Lamed Av, and then it'll turn out to be Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that'll confuse people. They'll think that maybe Elul is included, or parts of Elul are included. So in order to make it a clear demarcation, he made it 29th of Av, because you're always then before Elul, and that demarcates between the time before the time afterwards, that animals born before that point are included in that Goren. Animals born after that point are going to be included in a separate Goren for Elul. What comes out from Ben Azai is that there are actually four Gurganot during the year, the three that he mentions, plus a fourth one just for Elul itself, because he says Elul is Safek, and you can't join them together with the other two parts. So the Rashash says it's on the 7th of Tishrei. You would have to do it, because that way you capture all the animals born in Elul, including those that are Mechuser Zman, because you need their Zman to pass. So it would actually be, technically, it should be Rosh Hashanah, but because you need to capture those that are Mechuser Zman, you make it on the 7th of Tishrei. He suggests that because Av is sometimes chaser, he wants to make it on Chavtet Av. If I was to phrase it based on that reasoning, I would have just said it's the last day of Av. That would have been the easier way to say it. He doesn't say it. He picks the date that for sure will be in Av and not in Elul. But if he wanted to be more precise, he would have said the last day of Av. And that way, if Av was chaser, it would be 29th. If Av was Malay, it would be the 30th. In our day, Av is always Malay. and there's always the 30th day of Av. So I don't know if that, based on our calendar, whether Ben Azai would maybe say it should be on Lamed Av instead of Chavtad Av. So they have a differentiated opinion. They say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and then it would have been Rosh Hashanah, except Rosh Hashanah, you can't do it, so they back it up until the last day of Elul. Bechad Nisan, why do they use the first Nisan? Ki Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that says that before Pesach, Shtei Shabbatot. The Hilchot of Pesach are not a month before, but rather 2 weeks before, and that would fall out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they're subscribing to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Damar Bet Shabbatot, Ba'alaf Sivan, Ki Damran. The first of Sivan, similar to the logic of Ben Azai, which is you just don't have enough time, so you need to go as late as possible in order to do it. Bechavted be'elul, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, le'tamayu. They're the Shita Tam. Damar, Bechad be'tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, le'maser be'ema. That the first of Tishrei would have been, is the Rosh Hashanah for Maser be'ema. That should have been the Goren. The only thing is that they back it up a day because of Rosh Hashanah that you can't do. We'll see in a second Maser be'ema on Rosh Hashanah. But otherwise they would have done it on Rosh Hashanah. That's their Rosh Hashanah, and that's why they don't hold like Ben Azai and put it on Chavted Av and back it up. Bechad b'tishrei mipnei shu yom tov, v'tibiglei d'be'inan l'mevad ha'kera, v'chadash v'yashan. Why don't we say that the reasoning behind Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shimon's placing it on the last day of Elul rather than on Rosh Hashanah is not because of yom tov, but because you want to differentiate between the previous year and the next year. You want to have a cutoff date where it makes it clear that this is the end. So wouldn't that have been a reason enough to move it up a day rather than have it on Rosh Hashanah? Where it says, Chad b'od kamar, there are two reasons. One reason is, like Ben Azai, we want to have a cutoff date, which shows you that this is the end of the previous year, the beginning of the new year. So that's why you would do it at the last day of Elul. Then, beyond that, it's also Yom Tov, and you can't do Masrot and Yom Tov Mishum Sakarta, because of the dying of the animals, which is, as the animals exit, when you hit the 10th one, you dye it or you hit it with a red paint in order to have it be clear that that's Maaser Behema, something that would stay on the animal and be clear that that was the Maaser Behema so it doesn't get mixed up or confused later. And that would be Soveya on Yom Tov, which would not be permitted. And that's why you can't do Maaser Behema on Yom Tov. Tosafot asks Sovir, why is that the reason? There is a restriction in the Mishnah and the Gemara and Beitza that you're not allowed to be Makdish items on Yom Tov. So why isn't the problem that you can't be makdish maaser behema? Forget about staining it. Just making it into something that's ekdish in of itself should be a problem. So Tosafot first goes down the path of suggesting that it would be gzeira, because then you would say, I don't want you to be makriv the behema today because you might come to be makdish it. So then you have like a gzeira. Don't bring maaser behema today because you might end up being makdish maaser behema, which turned out to be gzeira. But then Tosafot takes another tact and says that maybe Maaser Behema is not a problem of Hakdasha. You're not really Maktish Maaser Behema. We'll see that in the upcoming Mishnah, which is that the 10th one is Mukdash Me'elav. It happens by itself. As the 10th one exits, it's automatically Hekdesh, and therefore it's not similar to regular Hekdesh. Regular Hekdesh where you change the status of the animal through your dibur, through your speech, that's what generates the Hekdesh. That's not true here by Maaser Behema. Even without your dibur, the animal itself will become kadosh because it is the 10th animal. Maybe that would not be deemed as hakdasha. That would be a problem for the makdish on Yom Tov. It's like the Bechor. Even though it's kadosh mirechem, there's still maybe a mitzvah to lakdish oto. That mikdash, even though it's kadosh mitzvah, there's a mitzvah lakdish oto, but that's not called hakdasha. Hakdasha happens by itself. Same thing here by the Maaser. That's what Tosafot deals with. Tosafot also speculates about certain things that you are allowed to be makdish on Yom Tov, like the chovot hayom, things like the korban haPesach, the chagiga, which are all chovot hayom. There, you're allowed to be makdish them on Yom Tov. And then he suggests or speculates, maybe you can even say that with regards to shamei simcha and other animals that you're bringing as quote unquote chovot that are not kavua lehem zman. Maybe you could say that hakdasha would be allowed on Yom Tov. He first differentiates between things that are kavul emzman versus things that are somewhat amorphous, that maybe you can't be makdish. And then he finally just says, you know what? It's Rosh Hashanah, so none of this matters. Because all of these issues are only really an issue when you're dealing with the regel. When you're dealing with Sukkot and Pesach, where there's a din of Chagiga and there's a din of Shalmi Simcha, and you can bring the Darim and Nedavot. That's just not true on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is an oddity amongst the Yamim Tovim. That's part of the problem as to how you create a Heter or Ochel Nefesh that applies to the Regalim. That's all the Rishonim. And it's pretty clear in Chazal that that applies to the other Regalim. Rosh Hashanah, it's very hard to know why or how the Limud gets that Heter Ochel Nefesh applies to Rosh Hashanah like it does the other holidays. Rosh Hashanah is very different than the other holidays. And this is one of those factors that you don't bring Korbanot Nedavah on Rosh Hashanah at all. You don't bring Yishalmei Simcha. You don't have any Chagiga to bring. None of those apply by Rosh Hashanah. So Tosafot it says, even if I have all these answers that possibly could allow Hakdasha, none of that would work on Rosh Hashanah because you can't bring Meiser Behema on Rosh Hashanah. It's just not going to be a relevant issue. And for that reason, he goes to the answer that we spoke about before, that maybe there's no Hakdasha over here. Rabbi Meir Omer Bechad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah the Maser Behema, Ben Azai Omer, he doesn't know the Elulim are by themselves. Tanya, Amar Ben Azai, Ho Ve'alalo Omrim Kach, Ve'alalo Omrim Kach, since they say like this, and they say like that, Elulim Mitasrim Na'atzman, then Elulim go by themselves. Meaning that you have Rabbi Meir saying that Rosh Hashanah the Maser Behema is Aleph Elul, and you have Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon saying it's Rosh Hashanah. So he says, I don't know which one is right. So therefore, I'm going to have this Elul in the middle that's a safek, because I don't know who's right in this. But let's say, Tamei Deman Mistaber, why don't you just see which one makes more sense? Take a position. Why are you waffling or vacillating on this issue? Just take a position. Maybe he couldn't come to a conclusion. He thought about it. He couldn't understand their reasons. And since he couldn't understand their reasons, he wants to just leave it as a safek. Batanya, Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says about himself, the rest of the chachamim of Klal Yisrael are to me like a peel of garlic, except for that baldy. So first of all, Ben Azai was clearly a very sharp individual, and therefore we would not assume that he couldn't figure out what their reasons were. So that's the question of the Gemara over here. He could have figured it out. He knows what the reasons are. He should have been machriya. He should have made a decision. He should have taken some logical approach to this and come to achra, come to a decision about the matter. The second thing is that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are all younger than Ben Azai. They are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Azai is a peer of Rabbi Akiva, and so it's very strange that Ben Azai is trying to make a decision about opinions of Talmidim or people that are after him. So that clearly indicates that these opinions were not new, but rather came from before him. They had to be opinions that come before him. And that's what Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipi Ashmua Amrua, Mipi Chagai Zechariah Melachi. That they came through the Shmua, they come from the Nevi'im of Chagai Zechariah Melachi. Rashi Ktav Yad says something very interesting. He says, Ukedvar Nevuahu. It's like a prophetic statement. Veloni Karatam Galoi. And therefore the reasons weren't revealed. So the way he says it is like a nevuah that comes from God, where the reasons aren't disclosed or the logic is not disclosed. Tosafot already takes issue with that. I don't think he quotes Rashi correctly. I think the way that he quotes Rashi is not what Rashi said. The fact that he quotes Rashi in the Ktav Yad raises an indication that we have two Rashis here in the Gemara, that clearly what Tosafot was looking at was the Rashi Ktav Yad, not the Rashi that we have above, because he quotes from the Rashi in the Ktav Yad. In the previous Samud, there is a little header here. It says, Mikan Vatsofa Masechta, from here until the end of the Masechta, Nimtzan Benuscha Achrina, Bekol Aperushim Shel Rashi Zal. Shibiyadi found another Nusach of Rashi, Vizel Lushono, and then he puts it in, wherever the Orech was over here, found another Ktav Yad of Rashi, and again, it matches with what Tosfot is saying. So therefore, it's more likely that Tosfot would have what we would call over here Rashi Ktav Yad, rather than the Rashi above. Whether it's two versions of Rashi, or many times we find that it's a Talmid of Rashi, or one of the early Balei Tosafot that wrote a Perush that got included in the Gemara, and then Rashi Ktav Yad is the real Rashi, or vice versa in other Masechtot where we have it. So Tosafot takes issue with this and says, what do you mean? It's a Nevuahi Kehilchotah Belo Taima, Baloyel O Nisker Nevuah. Says you shouldn't mention Nevuah at all. Ve'navi Rashai L'chadesh Tavar Me'ata. Nevi'im are not allowed to be mechadesh halachot. They can only darshan like any other person in Torah Shebaal Peh. They can't dictate through nevuah. She says, what does nevuah have to do with it? I don't think he's saying that it's real nevuah. Rashi Netaviyat is just saying it's like a nevuah where it doesn't have to be dictated by the logical arguments. It's just something that has no reason, or we don't know the reasons to it. That's why he mentioned nevuah. Not to tell you that it's a real nevuah. But Tosafot takes it very seriously and doesn't think that's the right way to approach. And therefore he says that the idea was, and this is the way I would have phrased it, unlike the Rashi and Taviyat, is that Mipia Shmua just means it's an ancient Mesorah. They're both claiming to have a very, very strong Mesorah all the way back from Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Therefore Ben Azai is not willing to be Machriya. It's one thing if you're dealing with a machloket, whether it's the individuals a generation before you, maybe even two generations before you, and then to argue that I think that makes more sense or this makes more sense. That's one thing. If you're in the world of the Tanaim and he's trying to make a decision, then you can apply logic. But it's already a Mesorah that's from Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, that's a very ancient Mesorah. You don't want to play around with that, or you don't want to be Machriya. That's something very serious. That's something with a long history to it, and they're both claiming that history. I mean, that's both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon claim that their Mesorah comes all the way back from Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and therefore Ben Azai says, I'm not going to be Machriya. That's a very serious item. I don't want to make a decision based on logic at this point. It's all about Mesorah, and therefore he doesn't intervene. That's why he keeps it as a Safek, and it's not Machriya. I just say as an aside, it's interesting to hear the sentiment of the Gemara with regards to this, is that we should try to avoid Sfeikot, that there's really a objective in creating Hachra'ah, in coming to decisions. If you can understand the reasoning, and you can understand why people take such a position, then one should be Machriya between the different Deot with regards to these matters, and they're pushing towards Hachra'ah rather than Safek, unless it's an ancient Mesorah, it's something that's way back and has been around for a very long time, then maybe you don't want to enter yourself into a fray where already Gdolim after Gdolim were unable to either solve it, or the Mesorah is a very long Mesorah. So that's just as an interesting aside in terms of Kovei Halacha. What's interesting over here as well is he says, Chutz min HaKareach HaZeh, except for this balding, and Rashi over here claims that's a reference to Rabbi Akiva, who was a Kareach, who was bald, and he says, therefore, in Shas, when it says Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was known as Karcha. So that is the view of Rashi over here. It is also brought in Rashi and other places in Shas. The Balei Tosafot in all those locations take issue with it and say, Karcha is not a nice way. It's a ganai. It's a disparaging term to use towards someone to call them a kereach. The example that he brings is from Elisha, a Navi, after he leaves and Eliyahu is Olev Sarah Shemaima, he crosses over and then the children in Yericho start making fun of Elisha that he's a kereach. And he doesn't take well to that. And then it brings other places in Baba Kama also, where it seems to me that it's a disparaging term. So why would Ben Azai, even if he's a Talmud Chover of Rabbi Kifa, why would he call him a Kereach? For that reason, the Balei Tosafot reject this assumption that Karcha is a reference to Rabbi Akiva, and he brings a Mesorah from the Beinu Nisim that it's a reference to Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah, which is interesting because Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah is much younger than all of the Chachamim when he's appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva after the problems with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. He's very young. And then he davens to have some gray in his beard so that he looks older. So it'd be interesting that why he davened for gray in his beard and not his head is because he was a kereach. He was bald. Or that might have also been a factor that he was bald very young. So I don't know. It's interesting just historically whether there's something to say about that. That's the Mesorah of the Rabbeinu Nisim. The Rabbeinu Tam rejects all of those approaches and says that it's a reference to a person called Karcha. There is a person called Kereach or Karcha, and that was his name. That wasn't anything, a descriptive term. Rather, it was a proper name that was given. My brother-in-law pointed out to me that in the book Chachamim by Rav Sabato, over there in the footnotes, he notes that Rabbi Akiva was married previously to his marriage to Rachel, daughter of Kalba Savua. So we know that Rabbi Akiva was probably married a number of times, at least according to the Bavli, because the Eshet Tunas Rufus is mentioned in the Gemara Nidarim, that he says he's going to marry her in the future, and so we know that he also married Eshet Tunas Rufus. We know that he married Rachel, and it seems from other Midrashim that he might have had a wife while he was in Amma Aretz. And based on that, he wants to suggest that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was a Rabbi Kiva's son from prior to his being a Baal Tshuva, prior to marrying Rachel. And so Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was the child from his first marriage, from a marriage to a Bat Tshuva, who's mentioned there. Brother-in-law was the son of Chamiv, the son of his Chamiv, Bat Tshuva. So there, the Chachamim wants to suggest, possibly, that might help to explain this difference in opinion here, which is that Rabbi Akiva, prior to being a Baal Tshuva, when he was Namaretz, maybe he was called Kereach then, or Karcha then, because he was of a low stature, he was a Ro'eh, and he was bald, so maybe they called him Karcha, and Rabbi Shulman Karcha was a son from that marriage, not his marriage to Rachel, and that might help explain why, even though it's a disparaging term, it might have been associated with Rabbi Akiva, but in a different time period than we would have associated with Rabbi Akiva. Just to note, the Baal Tosafot go to prove empirically that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha could not be the son of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha gives a bracha to Rabbi for long life, and he says to Rabbi, you should live as long as at least the half the age that I am. And we also know that Rabbi Akiva lived for 120 years, and he was 40 years old when he met the Bat Rachel. So based on all those numbers, the Baal Tosafot go through a calculation that shows that it can't be that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. Just as an aside, he doesn't just say it because of the disparaging side, he says it because empirically it doesn't work out based on the numbers we have from Chazal. Now, if you don't take the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's bracha literally, or you do something else, then you can avoid the problem. But given all those facts and those assumptions, he says the numbers don't work out that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha could have been the son of Rabbi Akiva. Now, with regards to Klipat HaShum, the simple way to explain it is that Shum, garlic, is very sharp. And so what he's saying is, I am the sharp one, and all the Chachamim are Klipat HaShum, are like, just like a shell or a peel of garlic that sits on top. So they're like nothing compared to me, who's the sharp one, who is the garlic. So that's a simple way to explain it. Others back away from that, because then why would Ben Azai speak about himself in that manner? He also says in the Mishnah Navot, that Alti Baz the Chol Adam, don't be so dismissing of any person. Every person has something to offer, and so that this seems to be dismissive of the other Chachamim. So then others come along to suggest that Klipat HaShum is a balance to the Shum, and that somehow the Chachamim provided a balance to either his sharpness or a balance to his ability to delve into the world of Nistar. And because of that, the Chachamim are Klipat HaShum, which is a balance or a some way to hold him, will give him form or shape. Chutz me, Rabbi Akiva, if you say it's Kereach, who didn't need that. He was able to do it on his own. And then that would play into the story in the Gemara in Chagiga that speaks about Harbe Nechtas to the Pardes, and that Rabbi Akiva is the only one who walks out whole, whereas everyone else is affected by that, including Ben Azai. That might relate to that as well, but that's a more agadic interpretation of the Klipat HaShum here, in order to reconcile Ben Azai's statement with it out being something that sounds like he's haughty or something, that he's dismissive of the other Chachamim. So then they try to find Klipat HaShum as being something of a balance to the Shum, rather than being something of irrelevant or nothing compared to the Shum. Tanya, so now we have a Braita, Be'ezo Tzad. It's very interesting here. The Gemara is going to bring a Braita like this. The next Mishnah has this, a Lashon that we don't find other places in Shas. Other places in Shas, the Gemara uses the word Ketzad. Ketzad is an introduction to say, how does this happen? Give me a case that demonstrates what you're saying. So here, instead of having the word Ketzad, it says Be'ezo Tzad. You can already see that the Bach and the Shita Mikubetzet over here will change the Lashon to fit, like Ketzad that we find other places in Shas. But just to note, it's here in a Braita brought, and the next Mishnah is also going to use the same Lashon, Be'ezo Tzad, which is the same thing as Ketzad that we find in other places. Amar ben Azai, Alelui mitasrim latzman. Where is this? What's an example of this case? Nodulo hei ba'av. He has five that were born in the month of Av. Behei be'elul. And five born in Elul. Ein mitztarfim. They don't join together because maybe Rosh Hashanah, the Ma'aser Behemah, is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hei be'elul. He has five born in Elul. Behei be'tishrei. Five born in Tishrei. Ein mitztarfim. They don't get together because maybe Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, the Ma'aser Behemah. Therefore, the Elul and Tishrei can't be put together. Hey b'Tishrei, hey b'Av, mitztarfim, if you have five in Tishrei and five in Av, meaning this year, starting in Tishrei, you have five, and then you have another five at the end of the year in Av, they can be mitztareif, because those 11 months are clearly in the same year, no matter which opinion you believe is right, they are in the same year. Gemara says, pshita, you haven't said anything that is unusual or gives more depth to Rabbi Ben Azai's position. So Mao to take Shanim, Mitzke Granot. The Havamina would have been that just like Rosh Hashanah, the Meiser Behemah is a cutoff date, so the animals before and after cannot be joined together. Maybe the Granot have the same din, which is that you can't bring animals or combine animals from before the Goren with animals after the Goren. Kamash Malan, Kedidat. That's what it's telling you, like we saw in our Mishnah. Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah. Example in our Mishnah, five before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah. Eim et starfim, because those are two different years. Chamisha lifnei Goren, v'chamisha l'achar Goren, heilu hare heilu mit starfim. If five before the Goren, five after the Goren, that cutoff is not so definitive or delineated that you can't combine them, and they do combine, and that's what we're saying here. Even if your animals from Tishrei all the way to Av, you can combine those animals and you have a full 10 for Meiser Behemah. Even though you pass through three Granot on the way there, it's still considered to be a Tziruf for Meiser Behemah. Amar Rava, the Divrei Ben Azai, according to Ben Azai, Nodolo Chamisha Ba'av, if five were born in Av, B'chamisha Be'elu, and five in Elul, B'chamisha B'tishrei, and then five in Tishrei, is five each month. Konsan Ledir, Litaser, you can bring them into the corral in order to bring them from Meiser, and then you take the maser from one of those from Elul, Bashar Piturim, and the remainder are now Paturim Maser in the other years. Mimonafshach, no matter what. If Rosh Hashanah is really an Echad Be'elul like Ben Azai, De'elul v'tishrei mitzterfim. And those from Elul and Tishrei do belong together, and then you have 10 from them. Da'av Turim. And those from Av would have been Patur anyway, because you only had 5, you didn't have the requisite 10. And so they would have been patur anyway. So mimanavshach, they're patur, and you got your 10 that you needed, and then you take off the maser behemah. V'yichad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah, if you think that Rosh Hashanah, the maser behemah, is actually the first of Tishrei, v'av elul mitzrafim. So those from Av and Elul will join together and make up your 10, u'tishrei turim. And then the Tishrei ones, the 5 from Tishrei, are now patur, because maybe they were joined together with the ones with Elul, maybe not. And therefore, you can't put them into a new corral with the animals from the subsequent year. Maya Mart, the Tzarfol Goren Acher, you want to then take these 5 from Tishrei and say, maybe they're not Maser, maybe they didn't belong to the previous year, and now they're new ones, and you can join them together. It's really a Safek. And we learn, Asiri Vadai Amar Rachmana Velo Safek. You can only break Meiser Behemah of 10 that are for sure 10. That comes from two perspectives. That means that the number 10 has to be something that is Vadai Meiser, but it also means the animals that you use to get to the 10 have to be for sure animals that are Chayav and Maser, otherwise you don't know if the 10th one is the 10th. If you put in animals that are Safek, it could be your 10th animal's 9 or 8, it could be any number depending on how many Pturim there are in the group. Therefore you have to have Vadai Chayavim in the animals that you're using to get towards number 10, and number 10 also has to be Vadai Maser. So according to Rashi, and the Rebbeinu Gershom, we have the fear is that this safek will end up being the number 10, the Meiser Behemah. But even without that, you can come up with the same problem, which is that even if it's not number 10, it's any one of the other numbers in there, it's going to cause you a problem, because then number 10 is not going to be number 10. So over here, if you have 5 from Tishrei, it's a safek. The 5 from Tishrei that's a safek means that could have been they belong to the Elul, and therefore you had 10 and you already did Meiser Behemah. Could be that they didn't belong to them. Safek whether you're chayav in these 5 or not anymore. Since it's a safek, we can't let you enter it into a new goren, because then you don't know if the SCV that you're taking out that goren is really the 10th one. But since pshita, that seems pretty straightforward. That maybe you will take from the other ones. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. So if we allow you to do this, even though there is a risk here. The risk is you have 5 from Av, 5 from Elul, 5 from Tishrei. You put them together in a goren, and now you have 15 animals. You run them out, and now you get the 10th one is going to be Meiser Behemah. But you have to ensure the 10th one comes from Elul, because Elul is the only one we know for certain belongs to one of the two sets of 5. So we know for sure you're Chayav in Elul, whether it's because Elul is the 5 from Elul with the 5 from Av, or it's the 5 from Elul with the 5 from Tishrei. That's the only one we know for sure is Chayav over here. So you have to ensure it comes from Elul. So what am I afraid of? You'll take from the other 5. We're either from the Tishrei of the Ab ones, and that we wouldn't let you do this. Kamash Malan, according to Rava, we let you do this, even though there's a risk involved. And it would seem like you'd have to do the count twice. You'd have to bring in the 5 of Av, count through them, and then go to the ones of Elul and end up on the 10th. and then repeat that process with those of Tishrei, and then end up on the same animal of Elul, because in that way, Miman of Shach, you have the count work out. The biggest question, Rashi raises it right away, don't we say with regards to Meiser Beima, that you have to let it go Tachad HaShevet, Lo Yivaker, Ben Tov Dara. You're not allowed to be discerning. Whatever comes out, comes out. How over here are you picking which one comes out as number 10? You're forcing number 10 to be the one from Elul. You're not allowed to do that. How is that possible? So Rashi invokes the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says that Bidiavad, you don't have to do it that way. Bidiavad, if it doesn't go through the corral and leave, and you count to 10, even if you have 10 and you separate out one, or you just count them on the spot and take out one, there's a possibility of doing Meiser Beima that way, which is Revutzim or Omdim, is the terminology that the Mishnah uses. And Rashi invokes that and says, that's how you get out of the problem. Even though the Chatzkila, we wouldn't do that, in a place, Shein Breira, where you have no choice, we'll use that as the vehicle for Meiser Beima to ensure that the Elulim are the ones that are picked. Tosafot says something else. Tosafot says something very cryptic, but he says something that clearly disagrees with Rashi. That he says, Ein Shayach Lasor Kan Mishum Lo Yivaker. There's no reason to say Lo Yivaker applies over here. Rashi says it applies over here, and therefore you can't do it. You have to do it in a way that you count them in the stationary manner, not coming out of the corral. Tosafot says, Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dara doesn't apply over here. So either you have to say that Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dara only applies when you have a choice in the matter. If you don't have a choice in the matter, then you don't invoke Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dara, otherwise you're not going to give Meiser Beima at all. Maybe that's the reason. Or maybe Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dara is only when you're dealing with Mumim, when you're dealing with something that's Ra and Tov. Over here, there's no distinction between Elul, Av, and Tishrei. It's not Ra and Tov. It's just simply that you need a certain date to come out. Maybe over there, that's not called Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Dara. So Tosafot says that the Isser doesn't apply over here, and for that reason you could do it this way. Rashi says the Isser applies, but because Ein Breira, you have to use one of the other methods that are mentioned in the upcoming Mishnah. I think your point is well taken, that Rashi's interpretation avoids the problem of this issue of being a Safek, because according to Tosafot, if you send them out like this and Elul comes out number 10, you don't know, because you're sending Tishrei or Av before them, you don't know which one's the right one. According to Rashi, it's because it's in the aggregate, you know you have 10 there, that you can pick the one that makes more sense than that would be the 10th one you can pick out of Elul. Alright, next Mishnah. Be'ezotzad. So again, Be'ezotzad, this is again that same terminology that's used over here, which means Ketzad. Masrin. How do you go about doing Meiser Beima? Kotzan the deer, you bring them into the corral. Vosulem petach katan. Make a very small, narrow outlet. Shelo yu shnaim yochulim latzeit ke'achat. That no two could exit at the same time, so that you're sure they go out single file, kivakarat, roe, edro. Right, when he's checking over his eder, they're coming out, they go by him one by one, umonim, and then he counts. Aleph, bed, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, zayin, chetet, yotzei asiri, the one that goes out 10, sokar, bisikra. Then he slaps it with dye on it, he counts it as number 10. Vomer, harizeh maser. And then he says, this is maser. This is what goes back to the Balei Tosafot before, whether the Harizeh Maser is necessary at all. Meaning that maybe it's Nikdash Me'elav, and therefore Hazeh Maser is just statement of fact, not the designation of the animal. Or you could say, like Bechor, there's still a value in being Makdishit, even though it's already Kadosh. Lo Sakro B'Sikra, he didn't paint it. Lo Ma'anan B'Shevet, he didn't use a Shevet. It says, Kosher Yabor Takad HaShevet. Sounds like you have a staff there that you're counting. Oshima Anan Robutim. Or he counted them while they were kneeling down, while they were sitting. Omdim, while they were standing there. Harelu mit asrim. All of that is considered to be maser. And these are bidiavad, ways that you can take off Meiser Beima. Even though they don't work lechatchila, bidiavad, they all work. Because lechatchila, we want you to follow the pasuk, which is kol asher yavor. Takad ashavet, we want you to use a staff. Kol asher yavor, we want you to count them along the way. And then the Asiri, the 10th one that you count, will be the Maser. But even if you don't comply with all those, there's still Maser. Be'emah, the Gemara will ask, how do we know that? Hayulo Meya, Benatal Asara, Asara Benatal Achad, Ein Zeh Maser. So the way that the Rashi and the Ketav Yad reads it, and most of the Rishonim read it, these are two separate cases. He has 100, and he pulls out 10. He has 10, and he pulls out 1, that's 110. Ein Zeh Maser, it doesn't work. Yosi Rabbi Yudah Omer Maser. Yosef Yehuda says it does work, so it's a machloket, whether if you do it in that manner, it does work. That's the way most of the Rishonim read it. Rashi over here reads it as being a single case, which is that he says that Hayolo Meya Vnatal Asara Asara. He has Meya, and then he breaks them down into tens, units of ten, Vnatal Achad, and then he takes one out of those units of ten. So it's really one case of 100 that he breaks down to smaller units of 10, that he takes one off of the 10. So instead of being two separate cases, he makes it all into one big case, and he reads Asara Asara as the breakdown, not the beginning of the next statement in the Mishnah. Kafatz Echad Min Minuim L'Tochan. If one of those that's already been counted jumps back into the corral, Harelu Pturim. Those are Pturim. Mina Mustarim. If one of those that already was designated as Maser goes back L'Tochan, Kulan Yeruat Shistabu. They all have to then wait till they get a Muman then. V'Ochlu B'Muman L'Balim. They can be eaten by the Balim, by Muman. So over here, once you leave the corral, you've already become patur. Once you are a patur, if you jump back in, you cause a problem for what we just learned before the Mishnah, hasiri vadai. We need the tenth one to be vadai the hasiri. If one of the animals already exited was counted already, and therefore makes it patur, the Gemara will discuss whether you have to reach the point of Meiser for those to be patur, or even before you reach the point of Meiser, as they exit already, they become patur. When they jump back in, you have one in there that's a safek now that's patur. That safek is going to cause you a problem all the way along, because you never know if the 10th one you're counting is really number 10, because one of them might have been patur, and therefore you're not getting 10, you're getting 9 instead. For that reason, the whole corral is patur, and we don't say bat el barov over here, both because of the fact that we have a specific pasuk saying it's got to be a sri vadai and not just bit el barov, as well as the fact that animals are distinct items or units in chashivot, so maybe you wouldn't say batel barov. If the one that was already designated as maiser jumps back in, obviously it's in a case where he didn't paint it, because if he painted it, then you know which one was that was coming back in. That's the reason to paint it, so you don't have this confusion. But if you jump back in, then you're in a bind, because again, you have the problem of masiri, because the one that's maiser shouldn't be counted towards the new maiser. That's number one. Number two is you can't bring them all as maiser beima korbanot, because then you might be bringing chulin lazara. So for that reason, you can't bring them as korbanot. You have to wait till they get a mum, and then eat them b'mumam, like you would with ma'aser be'ema that gets a mum. That's the solution to the problem. All right, Tarabadan, be'ezet tzad. Again, the same frame here, instead of ketzad, it says be'ezet tzad, maser. How does he do ma'aser be'ema? Kotzin le'de'er, he brings them into the corral, boselem petach katan, he makes a small doorway, k'dei shlo yu shnayim yukulim latzeit, k'achat, so two can't go out simultaneously. They put their mothers on the outside. You gotta coax the animals to get out of the corral. So what do? You put their mothers on the outside, and then they're gonna draw in towards their mothers, and that's gonna make them wanna walk out. And that's why they're gonna line up to leave the corral. Since they're on the inside, and they are bleeding, or they are making noises to go meet their mothers, to be with their mother, and that's what compels them to leave. Vilafkinu inhu. So why don't you just take them out? Why do you have to have the mothers on the outside drawing them out? That it says, because it says, Yavorti, Veloshiriru. They go on their own volition, not that you put them through. Kolasher Yavor Takadashavet is a passive form of the verb, which means that they go out, not that you take them out. Ulushari lahu yarka velifko veleitu or levate. It's not clear what the word is over here, but why don't you just stick food on the outside? That would be a sufficient incentive to get the animals to come out. Why are you using their mothers to draw them out rather than the vegetables? Amar Rav Huna, gzeira mishum lakuach, mishum yatom. It is because we don't want you to have in your corral animals that are patur means maser beima. Two things that make you patur maser beima, we saw these in the previous Mishnah. One is if you purchase the animal, it's patur means maser beima. And if the animal is a yatom. Yatom is where its mother died in childbirth and it doesn't have a mother. In both of those cases, you won't have the mother. Because when you buy it, you generally don't buy it with the mother. And when it's a yatom, it doesn't have a mother. So that will help you to remember that the yatom and the lakuach aren't part of the maaser be'ema, because they don't have a mother. And when you see putting the mothers out there and they don't have a mother out there, you'll know to take them out of the flock. Now, that is somewhat difficult because it's just not necessarily conclusive or true. There are animals that don't have mothers that are not yatomim. Their mother didn't die in childbirth. It died in 10 days afterwards, it died yesterday. Whatever it is, it doesn't have a mother now, but it's not a yatom. And lakuach, you could buy the mother with the child, and then you don't solve the problem. So you see it more as a siman than really a foolproof way to solve the problem. Just a way to trigger one's memory to say, oh, why am I using the mothers? Because these are excluded from those cases, and then you'll take out the yatom and the lakuach from the corral. But not because it's a foolproof solution to the problem. It's an assumption, which is not a bad assumption, that the mothers are not in the same Meiser year as the children. Certainly, if you're following the Granot, it would not be the case. But even in a given year, it'd be a close call. We already discussed this back in the Gemara and Chulin, whether you can have multiple generations born in the same year. So it is possible, but it's less likely. And so therefore, you could have such a case, but it would be less likely. But it's true, too, there, that the mothers and the children could be in the same corral, and then you'd also have an issue there. All right, so now the Gemara says, Darabanan, kol asher yavor takad ha-shavet, anything that goes after the step, prat, the trefa, sheino over. That excludes the trefa, they can't walk under the step. Rashi says, again, one of the trefot is me'arkova lamalo, the legs are cut off, so it can't walk under the shevet. And then we extrapolate that to the other trefot. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that a trefa is a choli, and it can't walk through. It's a little difficult, because it's not really the definition of trefa. The definition of trefa is going to die in the next 12 months. Doesn't mean it's not fully healthy now and can walk under the shavet. But either way, trefa is excluded because it can't walk under the shavet, or it doesn't normally walk under the shavet. Takad ha-shavet, mitzvah l'mnotan b'shevet. There's a mitzvah to count them by using a staff. That's what the Torah says. Lo manan b'shevet, if you didn't use a staff. O shemanan rebutzim omdim, or you counted them while they were crouching down, or while they're standing there. Minayin, how do you know it works? Tamalomar ha-asiri kodesh mikol makom. Says the tenth one, whatever one is the tenth one, is kodesh, no matter what. Vein elesh karashma asiri. It sounds like that. You have to call it the tenth one. Lo karashma asiri minayin. How do you know if you didn't even call the tenth one that it is kodesh? Tamalomar asiri kodesh l'Hashem. So the yeh is like behaviato yehei. Its existence or its mere appearance, it makes it kadosh, and therefore that would work even if you didn't call it asiri. So that's the reasoning behind why, even if you don't say asiri, it's kodesh me'alav, and that's Tosafot's proof that the reason that you're not really makdish the animal, because it becomes kadosh irrespective of whether you call it the tenth one or not. Yoko yoelo meya v'natal asara, asara v'natal achad. He has 100 and he just pulls out 10. He has 10, he just pulls out 1. You would think that maybe that works. Tamalomar asiri, the tenth one. Bainze asiri, this isn't a tenth one. By definition, 10 require 9 to be counted before it. You can only get to a tenth one if you actually count the numbers that come before 10. You just take out 1/10, that's not the tenth one. It is 1/10. It's the same amount that you're taking off, but still not called the tenth. This reminds me of the position of the Gonim with regards to Sfirat HaOmer, whereby Sfirat HaOmer requires that you count the numbers before in order to get the next number. So there are actually interesting deot in the Gonim, some of which say that if you miss a night, you can say yesterday was 5, today is 6, and that works. Why would you say that? And because you can't count 6 without having 5. So you need to say yesterday is 5. There's also sheet in the Gonim that only if you miss the first day do you lose the count. If you don't miss the first day, then you can continue counting even though you missed the day. So Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, notes over there that the reason is that you need to count. Counting requires a beginning and requires an end. If you never start number 1, you can't say the next one's 2, 3, 4, and then to the number that you're at. You need a starting point and you need an end point. So if you miss number 1, then there's no counting because you didn't set the course for the numbers that you're going to count. On the other hand, if you miss a number in the middle, since you set the stage by counting the first number, the first couple of numbers, then we can extrapolate the other numbers and come to the number that you need. So that's also the significance of counting, is that you need to start somewhere and you need to actually count in order to get to a particular number. You can't simply arrive at a number without the subsequent counting, or at least some starting point that comes beforehand. It's similar to what's being said here by the Gemara, that if you take up 1 out of 10, that's not the 10th. It is 1/10, but it's not number 10. And in order to get to number 10, you need to count 9 to get to number 10. To be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Maser. It works. My time, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? What's his reason? Summer Lake, Abba Elazar ben Gomel. He holds like Abba Elazar ben Gomel, who has a position here that is very controversial. Every place it's mentioned is Shas. The last time we saw was in Menachot, the Bali Tosafot. Fill up 2 pages worth of Tosafot, trying to explain his position, and just like in the other places, so too Tosafot over here takes up 2 amudim of the Gemara trying to explain this position of Elazar ben Gomel. The Tanya, Elazar ben Gomel Omer, ben echshav lachem trumatchem. It says with regards to, really speaking about trumat maser, it says trumatchem in plural. The shtei trumot akaduv medaber. The pasuk speaking about two trumot. Achat trumat gdola, achat trumat maser. One is trumat gdola, one is trumat maser. The psukim over there are clearly speaking about trumat maser because it says maser mena maser. So it's clearly speaking about trumat maser. But the psukim also over there say kig dagan mina goren, similar to dagan mina goren, which means that maser mena maser is similar to truma gdola. And so that comparison is what brings in the fact that maybe Trumat Chem over here is speaking about both Trumat Gedolah and Trumat Maser, and therefore we have a hekesh between them. And that is, Kishem she Trumat Gedolah nitelet ba'omed umemachshava, just like Trumat Gedolah can be taken off by estimation and by thought, av Trumat Maser, so too Trumat Maser nitelet ba'omed umemachshava, can be taken by estimation and can be taken off through machshava. So this is a very difficult statement because Trumat Gedolah and Trumat Maser are very different. Trumat Gedolah has no measurement midoraita. Ki chita achat poteret et akri. One single grain or kernel can discharge the obligation of Trumat Gedolah for a very large quantity. So they say over there that you can take off Trumat Gedolah ba'omed through estimation. That's not a really big statement because it doesn't really matter what you take off. Now the truth is, then, what's the estimation about? That might be the imposition of the Chachamim, 140th, 150th, 160th, they're trying to get to certain numbers, or just in general, that there's just no measurement. Trumat Maser, on the other hand, is a very precise number. It's one-tenth of the one-tenth. The Maaser Rishon that you give to the Levi, another tenth has to be taken off of that, and so there you have to take off 1/100th of the total amount that's there. That's a precise number. How can you say over there that Ba'omed, that you can do it by estimation? That seems to be counter to what the whole maser mina maser is, which is an exact number of 100. So that's the difficulty, and that's what Tosfot is trying to deal with. That's number one. Number two is, where do you learn that from? Rashi over here suggests that it comes from the word v'nechshav. The word nechshav teaches you all of these items, which is nechshav b'machshava, it works. And also v'nechshav is that ba'omeh. Even though you're not counting or doing exact measurement, nechshav, just thinking about it or thinking the amount that it is, that is sufficient. So both of those come out of the word nechshav. Based on that, nechshav applies both to Trumat Gedolah and to Trumat Maser, because the nechshav is modifying Trumat Chem, which has both Maser Mena Maser and Kedagam Mena Goren found in those psukim. So therefore it applies to both of them. That is the view of Abba Elazar ben Gomel. Now, you have to deal with the fact that the Mishnah in Avot says, Lo taber le'aser umadot. Something that's problematic or something that you shouldn't be doing is taking off your maaserot by estimation. So why over here we allow you to do it by estimation? And over there we say you're not allowed to do it by estimation. So the Baalei Tosafot reconcile that by saying that the estimation over here, or the way that it works over here, is that you're allowed to exceed a tenth. You can't be below a tenth. But as maaser mina maaser is a minimum amount. Now, if we tell you to estimate, you're going to be scared to do a low below a tenth. Since you're going to be scared, you're going to overestimate, and you're going to give more than you're supposed to. So you're going to be generous. That's what we're trying to create, and that is the thesis of Abba Elazar ben Gomel over here. The reason you're allowed to estimate is because you're going to estimate in favor of giving more. And that is permitted. That's what this din is. That's the limud from the psukim, that if you give more than maser mina maser, it's still okay. That excess works as trumat maser, and you haven't done anything wrong, or you haven't ruined your mchulin, or that which is left over afterwards, because you're giving more. If you give less, that's where you have a problem. So then you could say, al taser umadot, if you reference to don't do it if you're going to come out less. You only estimate where you're going to come out to be more. That's one way to reconcile it. Tosfot also then speculates that maybe the difference is between who is taking off the maser. When it's the Levi that's taking off the trumat maser, then he can do it by omed, or he can do it by estimation because he's the real owner of the maser, and therefore he can be generous with his gifting. If it's the Israel taking off the maaser rishon, and then on behalf of the Levi, he's taking off the trumat maser, over there, the Israel doesn't have the right to be generous on the back of the Levi and the benefit of the kohen. So then maybe that's the way to explain it. But then Tosafot, bringing from the Yerushalmi, points out that the Chachamim disagree with Elazar ben Gomel, and therefore all these places where we find that you have to take off Trumat Maser exactly is really going to be the Shita of the Chachamim, who are opposed to the Shita of Elazar ben Gomel. And that will solve your problem. It's a machloket. This is the view of Abba Lazar ben Gomel. And the view of the Chachamim is that Altaser Umadot, that you can't take it off by estimation, you have to take it off by exactitude. And the more exact you are, the better you are. And that will explain all those other Gemaras that seem to dictate a precise type of separation and not by estimation. Tosfot then leaves as a question as to whether the Chachamim b'diavad think it works. Meaning, are they only saying the Chatzchila should do it b'omed, but b'diavad they agree with Rav Elazar ben Gomel? Or maybe even b'diavad they think it doesn't work with Abba Elazar ben Gomel? And then Tosfot speculates also, maybe even according to Abba Elazar ben Gomel, it's not the Chatzchila, he's only saying this b'diavad. The Rishonim do believe that Abba Elazar ben Gomel's position is that the Chatzchila by Shuma, you can do it b'omed u'machshava. But by Shumat Maser, that's not the case, it's only b'diavad. Like the speculation in the Tosafot, even though the Tosafot himself, in the end he thinks that Abba Elazar ben Gomel is saying this even the Chatzchila, but then the Chachamim dissent. Now when the Chachamim dissent, do they dissent about both issues or only one issue? So Tosafot believes that they only argue about Omed. They don't argue about Machshava. They agree with Elazar ben Gomel that Machshava works both by Shumat Gdola and by Shumat Maser. What they disagree about is the estimation. By Shumat Gdola it does work, by Shumat Maser it doesn't work, so they only argue about one point. Other Rishonim, like the Ramban, think that they argue across the board on Abba Elazar ben Gomel, and they don't think that this Menach Shav has application to Shumat Maser at all, and therefore both Machshava and Omed don't apply by Shumat Maser. So that's the view of other Rishonim. Now, what exactly the Machshava is over here, Rashi brings two explanations as to what the Machshava is. One is, Shnei Nugim Shani Atzid Lafrish Harein Shuma, that you can do it in the future. Meaning that you don't have to take it off now. You can say, those that I'll take off in the future will be Maser. Or those that I take off in the future will be Shuma or Shumat Maser. So that's one way to explain it. The Kari Le Machshava Mishum De'eno Mone Utan. It's called the Machshava here because you don't count them, because you're doing it in the future. Inami, Notena Na Bitzad Zev, Ochel Bitzad Acher. You just put your eyes over here and say, that's the Shuma, and then you eat from the other side. So Rashi gives two interpretations of Machshava. One of them is Dibor. The Machshava is a Dibor. You're still saying something. And we saw that back in the beginning of Kodoshim. We discussed many times the Roshita, the Balei Tosfot, and Rashi, that whenever the Gemara says, he thought something, doesn't mean he thought. It means he articulated it. So it's over here. Machshava means articulation. It's just an articulation of something where you're not counting it out and separating it now. You're saying, I'm going to do it in the future. That's one way. Or Rashi brings the second interpretation, which is really Machshava, which is that you look at one side and you say, that's the Maiser Rishon, that's the Maiser Sheni, and then you eat from the other side where you don't articulate anything, and it's real Machshava. That's Machshava without Dibor. The Balei HaTosafot bring Rashi's interpretation over here, and he says, Mash Mashrotzo Lamar Mishum Dekhtev Nechshav Shari Lechol Below Afrasha, that you can eat without taking stuff off. Misharina Nami Bishtika. And even by silence, are they notena na b'tzadzeh v'chol b'tzadzeh? V'chol zeh, t'naf galo minechshav. So those are the two possibilities as to what it means, machshav over here. So there are those that disagree with this view of Rashi, that Dibor can also be like machshava. And when it says machshav here, it really means machshava. And there are others like the Meiri and other places in Jash, where the sugya comes up, mentions that he thinks machshava is ba'omeid. The two are synonymous with each other, really partners. The reason that it's Machshava is because you're doing Omed, you're doing it by estimation, which by definition is Machshava. So it's not a separate head there, it's one and the same. Machshava and Omed are the mechanism by which you estimate and take off the item. Then the continuation of this limud, so now you have Abba Elazar ben Gomel's limud from Shumat Gdola to Shumat Maser, how does that help us out with Maiser Beima? That's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position. So that is, to Maiser, Karyer Rachmana Shuma. And Maiser is also called Shuma. So I can take the din that applies by Shuma, now apply it to Maiser as well, Dichtiv. Okay, Maiser b'nei Yisrael ashir yarimu l'Hashem Shuma nitati l'Leviim l'Nachala. So you see that the Maiser, which is being given to the Leviim, which is a Maiser Rishon, is called a Shuma. So the word Shuma and Maiser are used or conflated in this sense. And therefore, there is some sort of hekesh between Maiser and Shuma. So whatever is true by Shuma will also be true by Maser. Itkish. Maser Beima, the Maser Dagan. The hekesh between Maser Beima and Maser Gan we saw earlier in the Perek. Rashi claims from Aser to Aser, which isn't what was brought earlier in the Perek. What was brought earlier in the Perek is Vet Masrotechem. Vishtei Masrot HaKadum Eber. It says Masrotechem in plural. So again, it sounds like Tosfot is looking at Rashi in the Ktav Yad not Rashi that we have, because the Rashi in the Tavyad says aser taser, which Rashi above says ve'et masru techem in the plural, which is similar to what the Balei Tosafot say. So now I have a hekesh. So therefore, ma maser dagan ital ba'omer u'machshava, just like maser dagan, which we learned from Trumat maser, which we learned from Trumat gedola, can be taken off by estimation and by machshava. Af maser beiman ital ba'omer u'machshava. So too, maser beima can be separated out by estimation and by machshava, which means exactly what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's position is. If you have 10 of them sitting there and you pull out one, that's considered to be as if you separated out ba'omer u'machshava. And that is the basis of the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So Rashi over here says that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda learns from Abba Elazar ben Gomel that machshava works. And just like over there, you don't need to actually count it out or separate it out. So it's over here, you don't need to count it out or separate it out. And that's why when you take one off, it works. The Balei Tosafot, on the other hand, say you don't need Abba Elazar ben Gomel for that, because even the Chachamim agree that you can take it off derech machshava. And therefore they believe that the Hekesh is teaching you about omeg. Just like by the grains, you can take it off be'omeid, so too by the ma'aser be'ema, you can take it off be'omeid. And then by visual assumption and estimation, you can come up with the 10, even though the animals might be different size, different shapes, differences that would make it that it's not like you're counting 10, but basically the mere fact that you're separating out without counting already is an estimation. Now, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda is an extension, an extrapolation of Abba Elazar ben Gomel. That doesn't mean that Abba Elazar ben Gomel agrees with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Could be that Abba Elazar ben Gomel believes like the Chachamim, that you can't do it by Maaser, because he doesn't either believe in the Hekesh from Truma to Maaser, or he doesn't believe in Hekesh, or Maaser ben Gagan to Maaser Be'ema. Either one of those could cause the position of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda to fail. And the Balei Tosafot point out that we do have such a concept earlier. Rava said earlier that Maaser Dagan and Maaser Be'ema were only Hukash Lishana. For time frame, they were not hukash for other things. So if that's the case, then how do you have the hekesh that brings you to the point where you have this maser dagan and maser beima being joined together? So there, Tosafot says, according to Rava, what you're going to have to say is that when he says, lishanahi kashtib, below lechadash v'yashan, that's because that things that are similar to years or similar to tuminim, that's what's not included in the hekesh. Doesn't mean that the Hekesh doesn't exist at all. Doesn't mean you can't use Hekesh in other contexts. It means that because it says, Ayotzeh HaShadeh, Shana Shana, that tells you that only Shana is affected by this Hekesh, not other things like Shana. Shana is a problem of Chadash V'Yashan Tuminim. So other things that are like Tuminim are not covered by this Hekesh. Other things that are totally different, like this, Sevomid Makshava, that the Hekesh will work for even according to Rava. But that clearly makes it that if you hold like Rava and don't say that, then you could come to a conclusion that even though you hold like Abba Elazar ben Gomel, you don't need to hold like Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda, and their positions aren't necessarily conditioned on each other. Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda needs Abba Elazar ben Gomel, but Abba Elazar ben Gomel doesn't need Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you can disagree with him. All right, we're going to stop here. 7 lines down on the top of Nuntet Amud Aleph.